Right, I've had this song in my mind all week long, and just been thinking about, you know, this is a good time of the year. Brother Dusty mentioned the other day about a good time to get close to the Lord, and it just says there's a wall. We need a wall of prayer, and if there's ever been a time when our kids need a wall of prayer, if there's ever been a time when preachers need a wall of prayer, and our churches need a wall of prayer, it's today, and probably a time when we're doing the least of it, amen. And that's what we need, amen. We can fuss and holler, do this and do that, but the truth is, if we'll all get where we need to be with the Lord, it'll take care of it, amen.
There are walls made by man, built with frail and human hands, that an enemy can scale and get to. Protecting me from my greatest enemy, it's a wall that Satan can't break through.
Everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able. I'll go down in defeat. He said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you, just how far you've come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
Now she's talking to her father in a house that was a home. She says, my bills are coming due, Lord. 6 days just ain't that long. She hears a voice so still and low, says, I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing for you, and I'll give you so much more. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you to show you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
Stand here just a second, if you don't mind. I want to do something right quick. I'm not going to preach long tonight, so I want to do something before that. I want our bus captains, Kim, Miss Vicky, y'all just come up here and stand across the front. Sandy, you come on that bus, and Brother John, Miss Dottie, y'all just stand across the front here. And then I want our bus drivers come over here, also. Bus drivers, all of them not here tonight, just come up here. We're going to pray for y'all. Won't y'all come up here? John's a bus driver and a bus captain. Yeah. Amen. We're going to have a special prayer for them. I want to sing that second verse again. I want to pray for him. Come on, Bill, get up here. You need to get up here and sing a song anyway. We'll tell them if we have 500 on the buses, Bill, we'll sing a song. And y'all believe that? I don't think that's going to happen. It's hard to get him up here. But he's faithful to drive that bus. Been driving the bus, I guess, 13 years. And I thank God for it. These folks got the work cut out for them the next few weeks. And of course, all y'all that help, there's a lot of help every Saturday. But we're really fixing it. And I want you to pray that God will put his power on these and give them a vision. Vision for the bus to be filled. You know, a preacher shouldn't be satisfied if there's empty pews. A bus worker shouldn't be happy if there's empty seats. We shouldn't be satisfied. There's one kid out in Burke County that don't know Jesus, It ought to tear us up. Really, it should. That's what it's all about. I know we're living in a day of professional Christianity. I get it. I know what's going on. There's all this teaching and having itching ears and forgetting souls are dying without God. That's what God's interested in. And your flesh resists that. We want to be religious and be taught. And there's nothing wrong with teaching and preaching. But we need souls. Souls is what God's interested in. So y'all sing that song again. And I want y'all, if you would, we'll just kneel down here and pray. And everyone that wants to, some of you men, come gather around these men. Some of you ladies, gather around these ladies. There's nothing the devil would like more than to wreck one of them buses or get somebody hurt or something. That'd put you out of business. I'm telling you. And God's took care of us all these years. And it's going to have to be Him that does it. It's going to have to be Him that does it. Lord, we had one come in backwards one Sunday morning. Didn't have no, all the gears went out. Reverse, the only one that worked. Made it in, coming up here. It's a blessing. Let's pray God will keep His hand on us. Y'all let's just get down here and pray on the altar. I'm going to sing that second verse again. And if you want to pray there at your seat, all right, you'll come and pray with these. Y'all just kneel down. Y'all go ahead. Amen. Come on. Amen. Come, you men, pray with these.
Now she's talking to her father in a house that was a home. She says, my bills are coming due, Lord. Six days she stayed at home. She hears a voice so still and low. Says, I've lived like that before.
Yes, God help me.
I'll do this little thing for you, and I'll give you so much more. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Did not hear you when you called. I walked right beside you to show you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
Didn't I
leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
Sing it as the world looks for me.
As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, they say I have nothing. They are so wrong. My heart, I'm rejoicing. How I wish they could see. Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. You stood on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love. For your blessings on me. Now I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters. How I wish they
of me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
I've done nothing. Amen? That's right. Well, I don't know which direction we're going to go tonight, but I'm going to show you something here. And I studied all that, and I said, Lord, is that what you want me to preach tonight? And I know it is now, because it was really short. So that's why. Lord's not through here tonight. He's working on somebody. And if this makes you a little bit nervous, you're the one he's working on. You're the one he's working on. You feel just like I feel. If you drop me in a pool hall, I'd feel
it. You're right.
What's going on? That's how I'd feel, putting me out there. Yeah. And that's how you feel in here tonight. All right? Now, I want somebody to help me back there in just a minute with the lights. And I'm going to show you a quick little video about, guess what? Bus kids and the bus route. And in just a minute, we'll show it here. I can get it on. And I'm gonna be giving you a lot of stuff here in the next few weeks. But tonight we're gonna talk about the bus route, okay? It says it's gonna resume now. That's where I want it, right there. Okay. All right. Get my lights and make sure I got Sam, Brother Andy, and I want you to watch this. Just a minute. This will give you a burden for the bus ministry. Every child that you see on this little clip tonight, Jesus died for and loves. Buddy, when they go out of here Sunday morning, man, listen, we need some more bus drivers. Some of you guys, I don't see why y'all wouldn't be just dying to get your bus license. Man, I want a part in that. That's rewards in heaven. They're like an army leading out of here. I imagine it's like David and his mighty men. The armies of the Lord got together and went out to get them. So, I hope we got Sam, Brother Andy. We haven't tested this, but we'll see, okay? All right. Don't have Sam. Should have. All right. Should have. Give me here just a second here. I got shocked on this thing this morning. Sure did. I got electrical charges on there or something here. If you are not saved. You're going to, I'm scared to touch it. All right. Well, that should do it. All right. That should do it. Okay.
Ministry.
Since 1987, South Haven Baptist Church has had a loving heart for bus kids. Gas prices may rise, church buildings may wear, but hundreds of children are still being brought to church to hear the Word of God preached every single week. The bus ministry is an important part of our church, and if the big yellow bus won't bring them in, who will? Does the bus ministry work? Is it worth all the time and the effort? Do we believe in it? The answer is yes. Here at South Haven, we believe in the bus ministry.
Amen.
For over two decades, God has allowed the buses to keep on rolling, and it's by His grace, and it's for His glory, that we continue to do just that.
As a 7-year-old boy going to my grandma's house for the weekend. My niece lived with my grandma and invited me to ride the church bus with her in the morning. I really didn't want to go until she told me of all the free candy they gave away each week. Sunday morning came and that big old yellow bus turned the corner to pick us up. It was that same day I realized I was a sinner and was bound for hell. So that day I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I started riding the bus every single week, knowing that Mrs. Thompson and Miss Bagels loved me. When Daddy died 5 years later, I moved to the country with my sister. The buses didn't go out that way. Today, I'm the bus captain of the route that goes into the country to pick up little boys and girls. The church bus that picked me up when I was 7 was from South Haven Baptist Church. My family and I serve in the bus ministry at that very same place.
My name is Jim, and I'm a bus kid.
I am a bus kid.
I'm 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 a bus kid.
I can preach to all the places without that. There's two things that makes me out of the bus ministry. Number one, deep down inside me, I believe there's a hell. If I didn't believe there's a hell, I wouldn't mess with it. It's too much money and too much trouble and too much risk. And number two, And I think how good God's been to me, it scares me to think about not helping somebody else. Lord's been good to me, y'all. When they're singing that song, Brother Jason and them singing that song, I'm telling you, I've heard that song 30 years, and it never gets old. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on me. There's a roof up above me. Amen. I've got a good place to sleep. Start saying that shoes on the table. There probably is that too. You know the song. You know the word. Amen. Let's look just for a minute tonight. I'm going to go a different direction just as we close the service. A different direction. We've got this thing about the buses in our mind, on our heart. Now I'll tell you what we need in our church. We're going to have all these people come. We had visitors here this morning. First-time visitors. People I never seen before come in here this morning. I praise God for it. Look at Acts chapter 4. And I want to just read one verse. And I want to talk about four things that every church has got to have. There is no substitute for these four things. Doesn't matter how much money, how big of a building, how well equipped you got, or how great the choir is, or even the preacher. There's four things that every church got to have. It has to. There is no substitute for these four things. I'm just going to read them quickly. The book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 31, it said, when they had prayed, the place was shaken. And where they were assembled together, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of his things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. There's four things that every church got to have. There is no substitute. Number one is preaching. There is absolutely no substitute for preaching. Preaching must be our goal and our job. The Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible said, how shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I'm glad that our church, this church, is built on preaching. Now, a church is not built upon their facilities. Good facility, that's great. I wish we had more. I'm all for it. But I know people say, well, the reason we take our family here is they have all these good facilities. There's nothing wrong with that, but they better be something more than that. It's got to have preaching. It's got to have preaching. There's a guy drove up here about 50 miles last Sunday, and he came in here, and you know what he said when he left? He said, I'd rather drive 50 miles and get filled than 5 miles and get fooled. And he said, and that's right. That's right. I'd drive a long way. If I wasn't a preacher, I'd drive a long way to hear Bible preaching. Preaching, it is an absolute must. The Lord Jesus Christ was a preacher. He come and preaches the acceptable year of the Lord. Preaching is a must. Preaching is a necessity. I'll never forget when I got saved, I went to the camp meeting down there at Nebo Baptist Church. You've heard me tell about it many times. Brother Ed McAbee got up and preached. And I was 18 years old. I didn't know nothing about preaching. I'd only heard a few preachers preach in my life. Mom took me to church when we were little, and they'd sing. My mom's two sisters, they had the Sisters Trio. That's the name of their group. They'd get up and sing. And we was little, and I remember rolling around on the pews, and they didn't have padding on them then, just blowing, making breath on the back of the seat there. And I remember a preacher coming down the aisle and preaching to come to. That's all I remembered about it. And I remember seeing Billy Graham on TV growing up as a 12, 13, 14 years old. And then I got saved. And when I got saved, I went to Nebo and I said, all right, I'm in. I'm in. Count me in. Whatever y'all do, I'm doing. When I got saved, I said, I'm in. Count me in. I didn't do it as a joke. I didn't do it as something temporary. I said, the old life's gone. I'm ready to get in. I'm going to do this. If I'm going to do it, let's do it. And I've always believed that. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And put your heart into it. Amen? If your heart ain't in it, ain't no good no way. And well, I went down there and I heard Ed got up and preached. Buddy, he got up and he looked old then. I mean, he's still preaching now. He's 85 or 6. And so he looked old then, but he really wasn't. He's old as I am now then, but I thought he's old. And I remember sitting there and old Ed took his Bible. He got up there like this right here. And buddy, he cut loose. I'm telling you, he come down like that and he went whack. And honest to goodness, if you felt like this, it felt like just me and him was in a room. And he was pointing his finger, looked like it was that long. And he was putting it right there in my heart. And I remember the first time I heard him preach, he told about this boy, a young man that got killed in a sports car. Of course, I had one. I had an MG. I've always loved convertibles. I still like convertibles. I don't like them because to show us something, I'm ashamed be seen one. I didn't kill him, but I love to drive when I get away from town and put sunglasses on the side, and I love it. I just like not to be flashy or be seen. It's just fun. It's like riding a motorcycle, but you don't have to balance it. And I like to feel that air hitting in the head. And I had a little OMG, and boy, old Ed told about this boy got killed in a car wreck. And honest to goodness, I thought he was talking to me. He put his finger down there like that. I thought, uh-oh, I'm going to get killed. Tonight, I'm going to get killed. And I mean, I remember taking it around. And you know, it's good for you to take preaching personal. You ought to feel like that. Don't ever get this attitude of, I'm above it, and I've graduated on up here where I don't need it no more. But you tell the rest of these people, they need it. Hear about that preacher that time. I told you before about that preacher. He got up one morning and he said he had this guy in his church. He was living like a devil. And he really was wanted to just call him out, you know. But he didn't. But he said he made it very obvious who he was preaching to. He got up and he done everything but call that fella's name. He said, these people, these people that come into church, act like they're a Christian, sit on the front row with these brown suede jackets on. I'm not going to call no names or nothing, but they ain't got no hair. And they have their Bible like they're better than everybody else. I'm not calling no names, but you know these people. I mean, everything was obvious. He preached the whole sermon to that fella. And he said he got through preaching that morning, and people started coming out the door shaking his hand. And the first one to come out said, "Preacher, you was talking right to me this morning. Every word you said hit me right here." And he said, next man come out, said, "Preacher, I don't know how you knew it, but every word you said was right to me." He said, "Thank you, brother." Next guy come out, he said, "Pastor, you have been over at my house looking in the window. I know you've been reading my mail. How did you know?" And he said, "Thank you, brother." Finally, a bunch of them said that. Finally, that guy came out that he's preaching to. And that guy shook his head and said, "Preacher, I really enjoyed that. You told them this morning." And went on out the door. And that's the way people are, you know. Somehow or another, y'all sit there and think, it's not really me. He's preaching to these peons that are not as great and wonderful as I am. But I'm talking to you, and it don't matter if the preacher's 8 years old or if he's 80 years old. And you sit there and take that preaching just like it was him and you sitting over in my office. Amen? Well, every church needs preaching. There ain't no substitute for preaching. I like to watch them little videos. I like singing. I like, you know, church would get boring mighty quick if we didn't have no preacher. I mean fresh, high off of the altar, brother. I mean fresh, served up in God's oven, dumped right in your lap. I mean right from the King James Bible. I mean straight to the door. Not this mumbo jumbo religious stuff we've heard all week on TV. Not love your neighbor and save the earth. It's getting right with God. The blood of Jesus will clean you from sin. Get ready, we're all going to die one day, and heaven's going to be worth it all. Every church needs preaching. Number two, every church has got to have prayer. We've got to pray. There is no substitute for praying. The Bible says, in one place in the book of James, he said, "You have not because you..." That's right. "You have not because you..." ask not. Now, if there's ever been a time when people need to pray, it's now. You heard me tell it. When I first started preaching, I preached a lot up in the mountains above Marion, up in Burnsville, Bakersville, way up in there. All in the little places. I've been in the little places up there where some little church wasn't as big as from this part of the choir right here. One little church I preached at called Rockdale had three little pews on one side and three little pews on the other, six pews. It wasn't as big as these right here. I'm telling you, and it was on a rock. The church was on this great big old rock. It was the prettiest little thing you ever seen. And I used to preach up in there, and I remember, I'll never forget what I learned in those meetings. He's heard me tell it before. The service would start, and I'd be sitting down there on the front row, and I'd be sitting there like that with my Bible, just as nervous as I could be, saying, "Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me." And there'd be some old fellow get up here with a pair of overalls on, and he'd say, "All right, open your song book." And there'd be about two or three women right here, and about eight or nine old men back here in the choir. And they'd all sit in there, and he'd say, "All right, let's sing." Some of them old boys up there are so bashful that they wouldn't look at you in the eye. I seen one, he goes, "I heard an old story, how Savior came from glory." And he would not look at it. He was shy and backward. And he'd go and he'd say, "Long years ago, when out in sin, I had no hope, no peace within. Down on my knees in agony." And they were pretty good. You know, them old men saying, "I never shall." And the ladies say, "I never shall. Forget the day. Forget the day. I'm a little hoarse. I ain't got no female voice." Now, worry about you guys that do. Y'all said that. They said, "Y'all touching the female side." I ain't got no female side. And I don't want one. I dress a tad sissy sometimes. I'm telling you, brother, there ain't a gay bone in my body. I'm telling you. I don't believe that stuff. I'm telling you tonight. Listen, then he'd start saying, and boy, he'd up there and he'd say, "Now I can feel." And about that time, the side door opened up. And when the side door opened up, there's a little old grandma come out of here like this, and she came out like this. And she had a smile on her face and her hair back in a bun. And she come out and she glowed like one of them lights. It's like, woof. And you could see the Lord. You could see. You ever seen somebody you just see God on? And she come out and walked across there like that. And there's about seven or eight of them looked just like her right behind them. And they come marching across there. And I thought, who in the world's that? And I remember seeing them march up there and get in the front of that choir. They'd been back there in the prayer room getting a hold of God. And they're back there ringing them prayer bells. And God got on them. And boy, about that time, the third verse, "Oh, sinner, come." And the whole atmosphere in that place changed. I'm telling you tonight, you know what makes church church? You know what makes church church? You know what makes church good? If when everybody learns how to pray, and there's some people who get on their knees and stay there for a little while, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you. In the next few weeks, we're going to have hardened criminals walking them doors. We're going to have hard sinners come in here. Somebody get a hold of them prayer bells and ring them. That when they get here, the power of God comes down and does the work. Somebody needs to pray. There is no substitute for praying. Will you pray? Will you pray? Will you pray? Amen. Amen. When people need to, when they come in, they need to know that somebody's prayed. It makes a difference when you pray. Remember when you used to pray? Remember when you used to set aside a time and pray? What's happened? What happened to our prayer life? What happened? Oh, we learned how to go through the motions and do it without God. That ain't no good. That ain't going to change nobody's life. You know what got me when I was 18? It wasn't a rock band with smoke coming out of the altar and a bunch of kids acting like they're in a nightclub. Brother, the old man of God prayed at 4 o'clock in the morning. The power of God come down and changed my life. And that's what we need in our churches tonight. Amen. We're in a mess, people. I mean, when the whole world goes crazy over, like we've seen it, I mean, in my life. It's hard to believe. And you don't want to be critical. I don't judge the people's hearts or their motives. I mean, they might be better people than we are. But when you see the whole country go crazy over something that ain't even as far away from the Bible as you can get, it makes you realize what a mess we are in this country. got to pray. Number three, there's no substitute for power. There's no substitute for power. I've seen it many times. I'll never forget hearing Brother Larry Winkler preach one time years ago when I first started preaching. And Brother Larry was preaching and he got in the glory. You know, you hear preachers say he got in the glory. I don't know how you explain that, but I was sitting way over yonder on that side, way over yonder where those folks are over yonder. And old Larry was up and preaching, and honest to goodness, he was exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. He was bragging on the Lord, and just for a minute there, it's just like he wasn't even there. I could just see Jesus. Not with these eyes, but in my mind's eye, in my heart. Have you ever been where it got like that? And I mean, it's just like the glory of God settled down in a church. That'll make you straighten up right quick. We talk about making our kids live right. There ain't nothing make a kid live right more than that. Well, take them where God is. Take them where God's power. I have people ask me all the time, Brother Danny, where is the power of God anymore? Where is there a church where the power of God anymore? And it's few and far between. But I'm telling you, there ain't nothing that's stopping the power of God from being right here in our church except me and you stop it. Let's pray and say, come on, Jesus, get in this thing and let's see the power of God. It takes power to get a hold of somebody's heart and change their life. And then the last thing it takes is praise. Praise. Did you notice a minute ago when a few people started praising the Lord how it started getting loose in here? It'll bust loose, people start praising. I'm not talking about a bunch of crazy stuff. I'm not talking about a bunch of foolishness in the flesh. I'm talking about from the heart, in the spirit, really praising God. Buddy, when about that time, somebody's hand goes up over here. You know what I like to see? I like to see somebody that don't do it a lot. And God just get all over them. And they're about half embarrassed. But they can't help it. How do you feel like you're going to blow up? I felt it come up in me before. First time I ever wanted to shout was at me where I got saved. And they didn't do that church. And I was in the choir on Sunday morning. And I was like this. There were people over here, people over here, people over here, all around me. And I don't know if you believe this or not, but when I was 18, I was a little more hyper than I am now. Do you believe that? Really? I was. I'm calm now compared to what I was. Lord, when I was 16, I'd run circles around them guys, going down the basketball court. And I remember I was sitting there, and we were singing, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And I felt it. This is my story. This is my song. Praise it. I forgot there's anybody else there. I wasn't nowhere to go. I mean, if it had been nowadays, I'd just said, excuse me, let me out. But I wanted, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to just haul off and throw that song up and run around that building going, woo! It sure is good to be saved.
Yeah,
and I chickened out. And after I finally did it, I said, I ain't chickening out no more. How long has it been since you just hauled off and said, well, glory to God, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved, amen. Thank God I'm glad. I know where I'm going when I die. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Ghost is my comforter. The Word's my guide. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. Hallelujah. Just shout the victory once in a while. You say, brother, I ain't worthy. If you wait, you're worthy, you ain't never going to do it. We ain't shouting because we're worthy. We ain't shouting because we're anything. I'm the most unworthy person in here. I'm telling you, brother, I'm shouting because he is worthy that saved me and died for me on the cross. He made me right in the sight of God. Brother Pete said, well, Danny Castle ain't no good. You're right, but you're like the devil. You only quote part of it. You quote the devil. Danny Castle ain't no good. But the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, made Brother Danny right in God's sight. Ain't that a blessing?
Yes, sir.
We need praise. We need praise. Lord, have mercy. It ain't going to hurt you. It ain't going to hurt you. It ain't going to hurt y'all. Some of y'all dignified people throw your hand up once in a while. Say hallelujah. You know, these people sit on the front with these suede jackets. Think they're better than other people. How long is it? Yeah. No, they think they're better than everybody else because they're rich and got a big red car and a Ford Expedition. They live well. They don't tell anybody where they live because their house is so nice. It makes the rest of our houses look like dumb. I'm just messing with it. I appreciate it, Brother Jeremy. You know what? It wouldn't hurt you once in a while, praise the Lord. That's why I have one sing that song. It ain't because he can sing. It's because I like him more than I. He does a good job at it. I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done. Well, I'm through. I told you it's going to be quick. Here's what I want to do. Never done this for the camp meeting. I've been on my knees this week. And I've been praying the Lord to lead us. And I'm going to tell you what's on my heart. This Thursday is October the 1st if Jesus don't come. Life's blood moon's tonight. And you ain't going to see it. It's blotted out by the clouds. I ain't even seen none of the other three. And tomorrow's big day, prophetically. All the stuff we've seen happen this week. If not now, when? When are we ever going to get right with God? If we ain't going to do it now, I mean, my goodness, I'm going to ask us to do this. I want us to do, starting Thursday, fast for counting. 21 days. We did 40 for the youth rally. 21 day fast. If we started Thursday, there's three Thursdays, three Fridays, three Saturdays, three Sundays, three Mondays, three Tuesdays and three Wednesdays till camp meeting. What's on my heart? I like to ask, who will fast? You know what fasting is? Fasting is pushing the plate back to seeking God and praying. I'm a believer in it. I'm a believer in it. And every great Christian preacher in the history of the church believed in praying and fasting. Oh, you don't hear it much. That's because this flesh don't like it. And I don't like it either. But I believe God honors. Jesus came up to him one time, and they had this guy they couldn't get healed. And they said, Lord, why can't we do this? And he said, the only way this kind works is prayer and fasting. Amen. Now, some of you have done this before. You do it all the time. And Lord, I want to ask you to do this. So you be thinking right now about your day. Teenagers, young people, mamas, daddies. If you say you're going to fast tomorrow, there's different ways of doing it. If you eat tonight, you've got 24 hours, you're going to eat until tomorrow night at 8:30 or whatever time you eat. And if you'll do like some of us do before the youth rally, you'll go like from tonight till Tuesday morning, the whole day, Monday and Monday night. That would be 36 hours. You won't die. If anybody dies, I'll preach your funeral for free. Tell them what a good person he was. No, you don't charge for funerals. You ain't going to die. You'll actually live a lot longer. You know you get addicted to food, don't you? It's an addiction. And I love it. I love chocolate, man. I love cake. I love donuts. I could eat six of them Krispy Kreme donuts and throw up and eat the other six.